Welcome to the Vibrant You podcast. I'm your host, Bindi Stables, and here we talk all things wellness and vibrant living. You'll learn about integrative health, functional medicine, holistic biohacking, and enjoy raw and real conversations on personal growth, mindset, and motivation. Optimize your body and mind and become the happiest, the healthiest, most vibrant you. Enjoy the show. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of Vibrant You. I'm so excited and, to be honest, a little nervous for today's episode and all that we're going to get into today. We know the importance of eating well and exercising and taking our supplements and meditating and all of these things to achieve optimal health and well-being. But today we are going to be talking about the mind and the vital role that our mind and our emotions and our emotional states play into not only our physical well-being, but our overall sense of vibrancy and fulfillment and zest for life. We're going to be talking about the mind-body connection, and I'm going to share my story of how I got sick to begin with and a vital practice that has really helped free me with my health and achieve the optimal health that I desire. We're going to talk about how our emotions can either sicken us or liberate us. I'm going to share that special practice that I have used to alchemize and release current or past stuck emotions that we may be holding onto that are preventing us from feeling at our best. So if you desire to feel at your best, to feel lighter, to feel more vibrant, to feel free in both your body and mind, then this episode is for you. So I want to take you back many, many years to the beginning of my journey, my health journey, and how emotions and ultimately trauma and so much heaviness that was stuck in my nervous system really contributed to the health issues that I was facing. I was really sick as a kid. And I, for the span of a year, practically lived in hospital with all kinds of indescribable, undiagnosable symptoms. I had, of course, all kinds of things going on with my gut health, with my hormones. As a young teenager, I had a horrible acne and skin and so much inflammation in my body. But the main and most concerning thing that I was facing was that I was having seizures on almost a daily basis. And I did every kind of test. I was on all kinds of medication. The most frustrating thing was that my blood work, they kept running more tests, more specialists, and all of my blood work kept coming back normal. And yet I was having seizures on almost a daily basis. And of course, couldn't live and function as a normal teenager would. Of course, if you're having seizures every day, I couldn't go to school. I couldn't go on ski trips. I couldn't shower with the bathroom door locked, you know? And of course, that's really hard, especially for anyone, but especially at that age when we're finding our independence and finding ourselves, right? And so what was happening inside of my body? All kinds of tests, they couldn't find anything wrong with me. And they kind of just said, maybe it's all in your head. And while what an annoying and ridiculous thing to say that it's all in your head, of course there was things, and of course with functional lab testing, we could find out root causes and all of that. However, there was an element to that that I realize now that was true. That my mind was playing a role. It was not the complete truth. There were heavy metals, there were gut imbalances, there were hormonal issues and toxicities that were contributing to my seizures, to all of my chronic health issues that I was facing. However, my mind and my emotions did play a vital role. So what happened was that when I was really young, I experienced a lot of trauma, many traumatic events of physical violence and sexual violence and emotional abuse and feeling basically in a constant state of not feeling safe in my body, not feeling safe in my home. And yeah, it was really, really hard. And here's the interesting thing is that the intelligence of those seizures for me was that it was a mental escape from the trauma, the lived trauma that I was experiencing and reliving on almost a daily basis. And so the interesting thing is that, of course, yes, I was having these overwhelming experiences in my body causing me to have a full-blown seizure like that. However, I totally see now that so much of my seizures was really my mind checking out. My mind was saying, this is all of this trauma, all of this stuff held in my nervous system is way too much to feel, so I'm just going to check out. That's the spirituality of a seizure, right? And of course, there's many reasons, many causes, but I know for me, a big contributor was all of this trauma that my mind was just checking out and dissociating and saying, it's too much, I just can't even feel this. And so it would just, my brain would electrocute itself, and that eventually did show up on the EEGs, the exams that I did eventually, that showed that I was having what they called a seizure. I call it a trauma response, a really intelligent psychosomatic mind-body event that happened when my mind was far too overwhelmed. I didn't have the tools at that time to know how to feel the feelings, the overwhelming, you know, impossible to cope with feelings that were going on inside of me. And so very intelligently, my brain said, okay, we can't feel this. We're just going to check out, dissociate. You're going to leave your body, metaphorically, and have this seizure. For many, many years, I did this. I shut down. There would be too much to feel in my nervous system, and I would just shut it down. And we all have different responses to stress and to emotional overwhelm and to traumatic experience. For some of us, we go into fight, right? Something stressful happens or a traumatic event, and we just like put up our dukes and we lean in, we fight, right? To try to control the situation. And that gives us a false sense of emotional relief, right? Through fighting our way through it. The next person, their nervous system will go into response called flight, where naturally they'll just want to like flee the situation. This feels too much. I'm just going to run away. I'm going to go away. I'm going to take space. I'm going to avoid. That's how they deal with it. The next person will freeze. And freeze is this felt sense of dissociating. It's just shutting down. We numb. We just suppress. And of course, that shutting down has a consequence. Of course, the lashing out through fight or the running away from flight, of course, these have their own consequences. And I think personally that they're quite intelligent, right? Our nervous system is like, this is too much for me to feel. I'm either going to like fight my way through it or run away from it, or I'm just going to kind of play dead and dissociate and disconnect in order to not feel these things that I don't have the tools to know how to feel and know how to process and know how to be with. And so all of these have a consequence. And certainly my pattern in that case was this dissociating kind of freeze situation going on where my nervous system would just shut down, right? It was, I couldn't speak. My communication centers in my brain would shut down. I would have slurred speech. I would be hallucinating, seeing things that weren't there, hearing things that weren't there. And then I would go into a seizure. And so, of course, this shutting down doesn't always mean that we're going to have epileptic seizures, but it does have a consequence. And all of these things floating around in our mind, right? Our daily stressors from our financial pressures, our relationship troubles, our troubles with work, all of that, if we don't process it up here in our mind, that energy has to go somewhere. And that energy will go from the subtlety of our mind into the dense, into the gross of our physical body. And we will store that energy in our nervous system. And that heaviness, that lethargy, that stagnation of that energy has an impact on our health. It has an impact on how we feel in our bodies. And I'd say 90% of cases of chronic illness that I work with inside of my practice all have a contributing factor of either stress or unprocessed trauma from the past, things that these people, their nervous system is holding on to that isn't allowing their body to fully heal and for them to feel their most vibrant, healthy, optimal self. So that's really what emotions are, right? If we look at the word emotion, it means energy in motion, emotion. And emotions aren't good or bad. They're simply feelings to be felt. And this is a big contradiction in society. We have labeled collectively certain emotions as good and favorable and positive, and we strive for those emotions, emotions like happiness, excitement, laughter, and joy. We have labeled as these are good and we should strive for this, right? We call it the pursuit of happiness. And I think that that's nonsense because you're human. And naturally, as a human being, you are designed and destined to feel a full range of emotions. And as society, we've said that, you know, certain emotions are bad and we should try our best to avoid them. Anger is bad. Sadness is bad. Grief is bad. You know, hatred, jealousy, lust, envy. We've just stamped those as a society as saying those are bad. Avoid those, because if you feel those, you're not lovable. You're not welcome. You're not kind. You're not polite. And so just don't feel those things. our job, and if we truly want to heal at the deepest levels, whether you are experiencing any level of chronic health issue that you're looking to heal, or you're simply wanting to optimize and stay vital and vibrant and stay at your best, an essential piece of our healing and optimization journey is to feel our feelings, right? What we feel, we heal. And what we push down and suppress, it collects and it builds as residual tension, right? Suppressed anger, suppressed rage comes through as feeling like we're always on this boiling point. It comes through as anxiety. It comes through as feeling like we're about to boil over at any moment and may come out as passive aggression to our partner or bursts with kids or imploding and just shoving it even further down. And that energy has to go somewhere. And when we don't take care of it up here in our minds, then it's going to manifest as conditions and symptoms inside of our body. I did this for years. And in my own healing journey, like fortunately, I've dealt with this and I've processed this and I've done many different modalities and therapies to heal. But I'll share with you briefly three kind of phases that I personally went through in my healing journey and what's brought me to where I am today in terms of emotional healing from the things that I've experienced in my past. So I'd call the first phase of my healing the path of positivity. So when I first got into health and wellness, you know, one of the very first books that I ever read when I was having seizures in hospital almost at least a few times a week was that You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. I'm curious, has anyone read that book? But that book is amazing and there's so much value in it and so much truth. I do see the limitation in it as well. So this book is basically a list. It's revealing the power of the mind-body connection, and the gist of it is that you can heal your body by changing your states of mind. And Louise Hay, she so beautifully broke down, you know, physical symptoms and the emotional manifestation or the spiritual meaning of those symptoms. And I totally agree. There's the mind-body connection. And when we're feeling not expressed, we can't express our voice. We're feeling suppressed. That physical tension that we create in our throat by not allowing ourselves to fully express can manifest as thyroid issues, right? We're cutting off the circulation to our thyroid gland, which can't allow it to be at its absolute best. So this is very natural. However, with this kind of path of positivity, I know for myself, I kind of took it to the extreme where I was terrified to feel anything other than good. Because with the book and with that kind of chapter of my life and manifestation, and if you've read the book, The Secret, there's such an emphasis on thinking good things and being grateful all the time and always seeing the silver lining, always focusing on the good. And I took that to such an extreme that I was terrified to feel anything other than great, grateful, happy, excited, amazing, you know, because that's where I believed that healing came from, was that I had to be okay all the time up in my mind so that I could feel okay in my body. And this was a powerful chapter. I learned a lot. I learned the power of the mind. I learned, wow, our minds do have an impact. And it's a wonderful thing to have a gratitude practice. And if we are trying to meditate away or gratitude away our very human nature that is deeply emotional and that does feel the full spectrum of things, we are missing out on a very powerful piece of our healing journey. I think in this chapter, there was several years that I didn't cry. I couldn't access it. I was the good girl. I was the one, I never rocked the boat. I was inspiring. I was spiritual. I always knew exactly what to say. I was the wise one, everyone called me. And it terrified me to feel anything other than amazing. So that was the path of positivity. The second phase I'd say that I went through was this yogic path of renunciation and detachment, where for years I meditated. I sat on my meditation cushion for almost a decade, meditating for sometimes hours a day, like 3 hours in the morning. I went through a big chapter, several years of 3 hours of spiritual practice or meditation every single day. I went to India and spent months of the year in total verbal silence, sitting in temples and ashrams, you know, meditating at that point for 10 hours a day and listening to Dharma talks and spiritual talks and mental training, basically to learn how to detach from our emotional experiences, how to basically not buy into it, and how to practice mindfulness to just be aware of your emotional experiences and just drop them. No need to feel it, just notice it come. Don't attach any meaning to it and just notice it go. And I spent a very long time in this chapter of just renouncing my feelings and aiming for enlightenment. which also kind of meant wishing away my humanity and saying that the parts of me that feel sad and angry and lustful and jealous and have desire for more and isn't just content and grateful all the time is bad and wrong and should be meditated or wished away. So there's value in that chapter too, and I learned a lot about the power of the mind and how to train my mind, how to be deeply aware of my inner experience, how to be deeply present with it. What I didn't learn in that phase was how to actually feel my freaking feelings. And it seems so natural. Of course you've got to feel your feelings. But for me, I truly struggled with that piece. So what I call now this chapter of life that I'm in my healing journey and what it means to be human for me is I'm in this era of alchemy, emotional alchemy through embodied expression. So this chapter for me is all about, yes, positivity, yes, genuine gratitude, yes, mind training. But what it also has is a deep capacity to feel my feelings. I have in this phase overcome my terror to feel anything other than good. And I must say, you know, through the yogic path of renunciation, I started to access some sadness, and that was really good. There was those years that I couldn't even cry, and finally, through being so aware and so attuned to my inner experience, I could access sadness for once in my life. I could access the grief of so much loss and so much betrayal and so much hurt and trauma from my childhood that I got really good at crying. And that was amazing. Finally, I could feel my sadness and I felt so much lighter and it was such a catharsis to be able to feel those feelings and release them, not attach meaning to them, just feel it. However, an emotion that I have always been terrified to feel is anger. And maybe some of you can relate. For me, it's easy to cry, right? My go-to emotional catharsis when I'm feeling a lot inside of my body is I can cry. And that's very natural for me. And I feel comfortable crying in front of people. It's like, I've practiced it. And for years, to help myself learn how to cry, I had a weekly cry date with myself. I called it rinsing, where I had to train myself how to cry. And I would do everything. I would sit down and I would start to journal and I would try to think of the saddest, most horrific things. And I would sometimes watch sad movies, like I would watch like The Lion King, or I'd watch sad things or listen to sad songs to really help me access that grief and that sadness. And if you've never had a cry date with yourself, I highly recommend it. A practice of rinsing, which set a timer for 5 minutes and just allow the floodgates to open and feel that sadness. Let it move through you. Remember, it's not good or bad. It's simply energy. That's all that sadness is. It's not going to hurt you. You're totally safe to feel it. It's just feelings that want to be felt. And I promise you, you're going to feel a lot better, a lot lighter after. So back to the discomfort of feeling anger. So I grew up thinking anger was really dangerous. And I had many lived experiences where anger was dangerous and anger was violent and it was destructive. And I have the scars on my body to affirm that belief. And so, of course, feeling angry was terrifying to me. And any time that I would notice an ounce of frustration or anger bubble up and it would come out as passive aggression or just feeling overwhelmed and anxious, because that was easier to feel overwhelmed and anxious than to feel angry or frustrated or rage. And so what happened was that rage really suppressed, because the truth is that we're all angry, right? We're all sad. We're all human and we are designed as humans. A healthy human does not have a stable, calm, balanced nervous system all the time. Balanced human and a balanced nervous system is flexible. It has the capacity to feel extreme states of sadness and come back to balance. Extreme states of anger and come back to balance. A healthy nervous system is not calm all the time. It's a flexible nervous system. It has the capacity to feel all of it. And so more recently, in the last years of this era of emotional alchemy with embodied expression, has really been about tapping into my rage, tapping into the power of my anger and allowing it to flood my body, allowing myself to feel it, not being scared of it. For years, I thought, man, if I feel the anger that is inside of me, I am afraid I'm going to hurt somebody. I'm afraid, you know, anger is just going to like leap out of my body and be destructive and hurt someone or say the wrong thing. Or I was like, I'm like not a violent person, obviously. But I was like afraid, like if I feel the depths of that rage from previous sexual abuse and emotional abuse and living in such unsafe conditions at many times, I'm like, I'm going to hurt somebody. And so the good news is I didn't hurt anybody, but I learned how to create safe containers for this rage to be expressed. And what this does is when we give ourselves permission to feel the full spectrum of our human emotion, anger, sadness, rage, jealousy, lust, desire, we connect more deeply to ourselves. We discharge this energy that's stuck inside of our nervous system, keeping us feel tired and brain fog and anxious and depressed and lacking that zest for life, lacking that vibrancy that we truly desire. And by feeling our feelings, we discharge that energy that's been stored in our nervous system, freeing us up. When we free up that darkness inside of us, we make space for more light. And so that's the practice. And that's what we've really got to learn how to do, is the art of feeling our feelings in safe containers and connecting back to ourselves, not disconnecting, not numbing, not avoiding, not suppressing. Because the truth is that we can't selectively numb emotions. You can't numb your sadness without simultaneously numbing your joy. You can't suppress your anger without also suppressing your excitement and your zest for life. We can't selectively numb. When we numb one emotion and we call it bad, wrong, we avoid it, we feel ashamed of it, we don't allow ourselves to embody and express it in healthy ways, then we numb all other emotional states. Our nervous system goes into shutdown and it can't feel the full spectrum of vibrancy and aliveness in our body when we've shut down those other emotions. So I want to share with you now a practice. So this is a practice that I've dabbled with for many, many years now. I've gone through my own versions of it, my own creations of what I've called it and everything. But I want to share with you a practice that I've learned more recently at a dear friend of mine, Megan Lambert. She's an amazing relationship and intimacy coach. And she works with women to embody their full spectrum of emotion, to embody their turn on, their aliveness. And quite recently on a retreat with her, she shared this practice from one of her mentors. I believe Mama Gina, I hope I'm getting that right. She shared a beautiful practice called swamping. And swamping is essentially a practice where you are deliberately choosing to feel every ounce of emotion alive in you. On purpose, for a dedicated time and in a dedicated space, you are not pretending that everything is okay or fine. You are actually feeling the fullness of your feelings. You are inviting them in. You are welcoming them in into a safe container, choosing on purpose to feel instead of go numb. And this is truly one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself. We're healing and releasing all of this stuff that we're holding on to, stuck in our nervous system, so that we can feel genuinely healthier because our body's not stuck or shut down into fight or flight or that freeze mode. And we can experience deepest levels of zest for life and vibrancy. So the practice goes like this. My friend Megan, how she taught it, and I'd love to have her on the podcast one day. Maybe she can talk more in depth about it. But how she's taught it to me and how I have personally made rage my spiritual practice is like this. She has a playlist, and the first song is to embody rage. It's to on purpose put on this angry metal, you know, loud, screamy song to help awaken that rage that's laying dormant inside of the nervous system, to on purpose feel it. And you set up a safe space. I personally do it in my bed with pillows and cushions. And I allow myself to thrash and shake and smash and punch pillows and smash pillows into the bed and scream my head off on purpose. And I do that, you know, for the duration of the song or until it feels like that energy has been released from my nervous system. And then the second song that she plays is a grief song. So naturally, it's a sad that invokes this felt sense of sadness and grief. And you move your body, you essentially dance or move, right? Not choreographed, you just move. How would grief move right now? And maybe tears come, and maybe deep grief and sadness come. And I know I just did the practice earlier today before, that's what inspired this podcast episode. And my body was shaking with grief. Our body has this beautiful, intelligent way of releasing emotions. And if you've ever looked in nature and with animals, they're doing such a great demonstration of this. I remember when I used to have a dog and I lived in Canada, on certain holidays and stuff, there would be fireworks. And my dog was terrified of the fireworks. It was loud and it was scary. And of course, her body would shake. It would vibrate. That fear, and not just the fear, but actually the releasing of that fear, was that her body would shake, it would tremble. And that was her nervous system not shutting down. It was that nervous system regulating itself. It was shaking that fear out of her body. And as soon as the fireworks were over, took her a couple of minutes and she was back to her healthy, happy, tail wagging self. We see this in nature. Those animal, wildlife shows, Planet Earth, those kinds of things. And when you see, you know, the deer being hunted by the cougar or whatever wildcat it is, you see, you know, after that, they wag their tail, right? Their body shakes. It's like they're shaking off that stress, shaking off that that fear, that trauma that they just experienced so that they can genuinely go back to normal. When we don't shake, when we don't release, when we don't cry, when we don't thrash, that's when those things get stored in our nervous system. And it shows up then as chronic illness, as symptoms, as just feeling tired all the time, feeling overwhelmed, feeling anxious. And that's not what we want. So I always say, when it comes to emotions, maybe 10% of the emotion that we feel is the actual emotion. Meaning 10% of the emotional intensity that we feel when we cry or when we feel angry is actually the original sadness or anger that we feel. 90% of the emotional intensity that comes up when we feel anxious, sad, overwhelmed, whatever it is our feelings about the feeling. So 90% of the emotional intensity is not the sadness. It's the shame that we hold the sadness in. It's the effort that we exert in holding back our tears. The emotional intensity is our resistance to feeling the sadness. That's the problem. Sadness isn't the problem. It's our resistance to feeling it, our rejection of it, and our refusal to open up the floodgates and allow those tears to come. That's where we experience the problems. So the third song, right? We had song number one is Rage. Song number two is Sadness or Grief. And then song number three is Turn On. So it's a song to embody your turn on, to embody your aliveness. That's what I call turn on, is when I feel turned on about something, there's an aliveness that throws in me, an excitement, a juiciness, right? And so putting on a song that makes you feel alive and moving your body to that aliveness. And that is a beautiful practice of emotional alchemy. So I just want to say that the first time that you may do this practice, it may feel terrifying. It may feel super awkward. It may feel funny. I've done it before in my first times where I just felt like laughing the whole time. And again, that laughter is its own discharge of our nervous system of emotional awkwardness, right? It's how our body discharges emotional awkwardness is we laugh. And that can be therapeutic as well. But just knowing that whatever comes up inside of that practice, as long as you create a safe container, ideally set a timer. You're not in this for hours. For me, it's usually 5-10 minutes max that I'm feeling all of this. Closing the practice with taking some deep breaths, coming back to your five senses, noticing what you see around you, noticing what you feel, noticing the sensations on your skin, noticing what you hear in your environment, right? Using your five senses to come back to homeostasis and, you know, maybe getting some fresh air, having a glass of water, having a quick cold shower. That's an excellent way to kind of release the practice and move into the next thing without carrying any residual charge inside of your nervous system of what may have come up. This is a very safe, beautiful practice. And of course, you can work with a practitioner. I do a lot of emotional release techniques in my work with clients, and you're welcome to work with any sort of somatic healer or practitioner that would help you to, you know, move these emotions in a healthy way. But just trust that it's okay to feel your feelings and just notice which emotions feel safe to feel. For me, it's sadness. That's easy. And happiness and gratitude. And which emotions feel hard? Which emotions have you said are bad or wrong? And those are going to be the ones to really dive into and give yourself permission to feel. All of this, feeling your feelings, what we feel, we heal. This is really the essence of what I want you to take away from this, is it's safe to feel and allow rage to be your spiritual practice. I was laughing with a friend the other day. I was sharing, you know, I feel like rage has become my new spiritual practice after years of sitting on my meditation cushion every morning, trying to still my mind and calm my emotions. And now my regular practice a few times a week is beating the crap out of pillows. And it's actually funny, this, if you're on video with me here, I'm holding up my meditation cushion that I used for years to sit on and meditate, has become now my weapon of rage that I smash into my bed and thrash with and try to rip apart. And spirituality has just taken on a whole new human embodied feeling for me. I'm much more interested at this stage in my life, less about spirituality and more about humanity, how to experience the full range of my humanness, and through that experience my soul beyond all of those states. This is an era of embracing our human, embracing all of the parts of us, our shadow parts, our light parts, and alchemizing through that. So that's all for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What's your main takeaway from this episode? I would love to hear your insights. Which emotions feel easy and hard for you to feel? And have you yourself done any sort of rage practice or grief practice or anything like this practice that I've shared here called swamping? So I'd love to hear your takeaways over on Instagram at Bindi Stables. And I will see you back for another episode real soon. Take care. Thanks so much for listening. If you loved today's episode, please spread the love by subscribing and leaving a review. Or if there's someone in your life that you think could benefit from this conversation, please share this episode with them. I would love to hear from you over on Instagram at Bindi Stables, or visit my website, bindistables.com, to connect and work with me. Thank you so much again for being here, and I'm celebrating you in this journey of becoming the happiest, the healthiest, most vibrant you.